It's exciting to partner with new missionary families, get the gospel out. Amen. Amen. You're in 2 Kings chapter number 2. One of my favorite chapters in all of God's Word is 2 Kings chapter number 2. Now, I have preached out of this text a couple of times here at this church, and I believe the last time that I did was to an empty auditorium. And it's not because nobody showed up for church, it's because it was last year in April. And so you remember I was preaching to that camera back there, and I didn't know who was listening, maybe a couple of you, but for those that were sleeping, I'll give you some things that I gave you back last year in March or April. And what I'd like to do is that there's the content of 2 Kings chapter 2 is very familiar to us. Verse number 1 gives us the setting. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind," and that's kind of our text, that's the setting there. Elijah is getting ready to be taken up. He's getting ready to be translated, to be raptured up to heaven, escorted there in that fiery chariot, and he's getting ready to pass off the scene. And we know that 2 Kings chapter 2 is about the succession of Elisha. He's the one that's going to be following in the path of Elijah's passing off the scene, and Elisha's going to be coming onto the scene. And one of the reasons why it's my favorite chapter, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, is because it just teaches the truth that, you know, God's leaders, they rise and pass off the scene, but God's truth passes on. God's always got a preacher. He's always got a witness. There's always somebody that God has on the scene when his men pass off the scene. And so I'm thankful for that. Elijah, he's getting ready to go into heaven. God's finished with him. But Elisha, here he is. He's going to pick up the mantle, and he's the next great prophet of God to preach for the children of Israel. And I'm thankful for that, that although circumstances change, leaders rise and fall, nations rise and fall, God's word continues to go on. And God's preachers still continue to preach God's word. I'm thankful for that. And so you have the kind of the heartbeat of this chapter is from verse number 7 to verse number 15. And that's the setting of Elijah and Elisha. Here they come and they approach the Jordan River. Elijah, he takes off his coat, takes off his mantle, he bundles it up, and he smotes the Jordan River, and they pass over on dry ground. And I imagine that Elisha was probably pretty impressed by that. And they get over to the other side of the river, and Elijah says, "I'll give you one request. You ask me anything before I pass off the scene." And Elisha said, "I want a double portion of your spirit. I want a double portion of what I just seen." And I thought, what a great request. May God give us some young people. It's Youth Sunday. I pray God give us some young people that'd be able to point their finger at some of us older ones and say, "I want double of what they got." Amen. And some of us older ones, we ought to be living in such a way, being so in love with Jesus and have the Spirit of God oozing off of us, that young people be able to look at us and say, "I want double what they've got. I want double the joy that he's got. I want double the love that she has. I want double the peace that he has or she has." And I pray that would be so here at Fellowship Baptist Church. So Elisha asked that request, and Elijah said, "I'll tell you what, if you see me when I ascend up, if you see it happen, then it'll be granted." The Bible says that fiery chariot appeared, and it took Elijah up in a whirlwind to heaven. And then the Bible tells us, notice verse number 12, and Elisha saw it. He saw it. He cried, "My father, my father." I mean, Elijah was a mentor. They'd spent a lot of time together. And it was heartbreaking for them to be divided asunder and for Elisha here to be left. But we see that verse number 13, he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. When the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." They came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And so we see here that indeed, the spirit of Elijah rested upon Elisha. And then what follows in chapter number 2 is there's three different events that happen that kind of authenticate and validate Elisha's ministry. He is indeed the prophet of God. He shows his wisdom, then he shows some healing power that God gives him, and then he also issues some judgment upon some young men making fun of a bald preacher. That hits home with me, Brother John, amen? God loves his bald preachers. You better be careful about making fun of them, amen? Amen. I knew this was God's will tonight. No. 2 Kings chapter number 2. Here's what I'd like to do tonight. There's a lot in this text, but what I'd like to do is,
when I was studying this last year and I came across this succession of Elijah and Elisha at the Jordan River, I was reminded, my mind went forward in the Bible to the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. And I see some similarities here with Elijah and Elisha and John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus began his ministry the same place that Elisha began his, here at the Jordan River. He began his public ministry, Jesus did, at the Jordan River. And so my mind began to think, and God began to show me some things last year that I'd just simply like to show to you. And I'd like to just simply magnify and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. That's always our goal as preachers and teachers. We want Jesus to be magnified, but I believe if we can do that, you'll get some help. Just want to simply show you some similarities, show you some truths about our Savior. And I'll just admit to you, I'm in over my head tonight. I can't even scratch the surface. There's more to talk about our Savior than I can even begin to describe. But if I can just show you something to spark your interest, to stir something in your soul, then I pray that that would be the objective tonight, that God would just give us a greater hunger to know more about Jesus. Amen. More about Jesus. Amen. There's a song that we used to sing when I was a little kid growing up in church. I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. And so I pray that would be our goal and it would be accomplished tonight. I'm reminded in Genesis 24, the story of Abraham and his servant Eliezer there was sent to go seek out a bride for his son Isaac. And you know the story. I hope you're familiar with it there in Genesis chapter 24. But Eliezer there, he goes to seek a bride for Isaac. And he's going out looking for a bride, and he ends up finding Rebekah. And they talk a little bit. And one of the things that this servant was trying to do to convince Rebekah to marry Isaac, a man that she didn't even know of, a man she had never seen, was he started taking from some of the treasures of Isaac, and he started telling Rebekah about how good of a man and how rich Isaac was, and that always gets a lady's attention, amen? And I thought I'd get some laughs on that. Y'all serious tonight, amen? But anyways, so here's the servant. He's telling Rebekah, you know, man, my master, he's rich, and Isaac, he's a good young man, and she eventually follows and says yes. And I thought about what a great picture of the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. How that God the Father has sent the Holy Spirit of God to go seek out a bride for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that wins people over to Jesus is the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God begins to reveal things to us about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says this in John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Listen, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He receives of the heavenly things of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and he reveals them to us. And we say, wow, what a Savior. I think I'll follow that man. I think I'll say yes to Jesus. And so that's the goal tonight. If we see some things here in 2 Kings chapter 2 that are of Elisha but resemble the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that we'd say, that's the man I want to follow, Jesus Christ. That's who I want to give my life to. That's who I want to commit myself to. And so with that being said, let's look at a few things tonight from the Word of God that are some similarities with Elisha and the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, I've already mentioned that their public ministry both began with succession at the Jordan River. It was followed by divine enablement and then approving. We've seen that from our text here in 2 Kings chapter 2 that Elisha, he receives the mantle here at the Jordan River, and then he's divinely enabled. He gets the double portion of the spirit of Elijah. And then not long after that, there's these instances in verse 16 down through verse 24 that kind of prove that Elisha has the Spirit of God on his life. There's a proving time for Elisha. And I thought about the same thing with the Lord Jesus. I mentioned in Sunday school this morning that Jesus was baptized there in the Jordan River of John the Baptist, and the Spirit of God descended upon him as a dove, and God the Father divinely enabled his son for that ministry. But immediately after that, the Spirit of God drove the Lord Jesus Christ into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. He was proved, he was tempted, he was tested, and not long after he publicly began his ministry. And so I see that similarity there with Elisha and with the Lord Jesus. I also see some similarities, we'll not look at them tonight, but in Elijah and John the Baptist. Both of the men that passed the mantle, whether it was Elijah to Elisha or whether it was John the Baptist to Jesus, these two men had some similarities. and we'll not look at them. I believe they're both preachers of the Word of God. They're both maybe a little rough around the edges, but they didn't mind telling the truth. Amen. And so I appreciate men like that. And so I see that public ministry, there's some parallels there. But then also the meaning of the names. The name Elisha means God saves. Elisha means God is salvation. Well, the name Jesus means Jehovah saves. The name Jesus means Savior. That angel appeared to Joseph and he said, Mary, she's going to have a son. She's going to bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Call him Jesus. Why? Because he's a Savior. And so the name Elisha and the name Jesus both mean salvation. They both mean Savior. But not only their public ministry and their names, but I want you to turn to two places in your Bible. Turn to Matthew 11 and then Isaiah chapter number 35. Matthew 11 and Isaiah chapter 35. The miracles that these two men, Jesus and Elisha, performed were very similar. Matthew chapter 11 and Isaiah 35. All right, Matthew 11, Isaiah 35. Let's go Isaiah 35 first. We'll see the prophecy, and then we'll look at the fulfillment in Matthew 11. And let's look at the comparison of these miracles here. Isaiah 35, look, if you will, with me at verse number 5. The Bible says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Now turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 11. And let's begin at verse number 2. John the Baptist is in prison. And the Bible says in Matthew 11, 2, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Notice, the blind receive their sight, check, and the lame walk, check. Now notice that the lepers are cleansed. He added that one. Jesus added that one. It's not in Isaiah 35. And the deaf hear, check, and the dead are raised up. Jesus added that one. And then he says, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whoever shall not be offended in me. Jesus added two miracles here in Matthew 11 that we did not find in Isaiah 35. The interesting thing is the two things that Jesus added, if you look again at verse number 5, he added the lepers are cleansed. Does that ring any bells with Elisha? Yeah, Naaman, right? The captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a leper that God used Elisha to, told him to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And you know the story, got angry, but ultimately got cleansed. And then you find that the dead are raised up. We don't find that in Isaiah 35, but Jesus mentioned it in Matthew 11. And Jesus is just simply trying to tell John's disciples, hey, you go back and tell John everything that I've done. And everything that we see here that Jesus did, well, Elisha did a lot of the same things. And when you talk about the dead being raised again, there's a story that we'll look at in just a moment that, I wish I could have been there. I mean, you talk about one of the places you wish you could have been a fly on the wall. We'll look at that story in just a moment. But talk about their miracles. Elisha, he multiplied bread and there was leftovers in 2 Kings chapter number 4. Sound familiar? Multiplied bread, leftovers. Jesus fed the 5,000, 12 baskets left over. A dead man. Turn with me, if you will. Let's look at this. 2 Kings chapter number 13. You got to see this. You know what? You find some things in the Bible that you read and they're interesting, and you're like, man, I wish there was more to it than that. I wish God would have gave us a little more on that. I must be the only one that thinks that way. I'm carnal. This is one of those times where I'm reading and I'm like, man, I wish God would have gave us a little snapshot of some of the reactions of some people. You know, maybe he could have substituted that for some of the genealogies or something. I don't know. I know you don't think that way. All right. 2 Kings chapter 13, notice this. Look, if you will, with me at, let's see, let's go to verse number 20. Verse number 20. And Elisha died, 2 Kings 13, verse 20. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming end of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down, he touched the bones of Elisha, and he revived and stood up on his feet. And that's all we get. I promise you, two of them must have died of a heart attack. I mean, you imagine this, they come up on these men, they're getting ready to bury a man, and they say, well, let's just throw him in here with these old bones here. And as soon as that man's corpse touched the bones of Elisha, the man revives, jumps up out of the sepulcher, and on his way. Right? Isn't that amazing? But I thought about that. You know, there was a man here in 2 Kings 13 that received life because of the death of somebody else. That kind of sounds like Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? He was wounded, the Bible says, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes are we healed. Amen. Because of his death, I have life. The Bible says that he bore in his own body our sins on a tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Because Jesus died for me and shed his blood, I can have life. And so there's a lot of similarities we see between Elisha and the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it in their ministry. We see it in their names. We see it in their miracles. But then we see something else. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. I just want to show you a couple more things, and we'll make some application, and that'll be it. 1 Kings chapter number 19. Go there with me, if you will, in the Bible. 1 Kings 19. Something else I find that's very interesting, that's a comparison between Elisha and the Lord Jesus. They were both faithful to complete the task. Aren't you glad you serve a God you can count on? That when he says he's going to do something, he does it every single time. You don't have to worry about, well, I wonder if Jesus is going to come through. I wonder if Jesus is really going to do what he said he was going to do. He'll do it every single time. Hadn't failed yet. 1 Kings chapter 19, here's the story of the still small voice. God gives Elijah there in the cave in 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's pick up our reading in verse number 15. 1 Kings 19, 15. And the Lord said unto him, the Lord speaking to Elijah, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. That was one thing he told him to do. Verse number 2, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And number 3, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be the prophet in thy room. So three things that God gave Elijah to do here in 1 Kings chapter number 19. Well, we know that Elisha comes on the scene later in this chapter, just a few verses later. So he checks that one off the box. But something interesting happens, because Elijah dies before the first two things could happen. God told Elijah, he said, I want you to anoint Hazael, verse number 15, to be king over Syria, and verse number 16, Jehu, to be king over Israel. Well, Elijah died. And so guess who had to come on the scene to finish the task? Elisha. So when Elisha comes on the scene, he's the one that God uses to finish the task. And you find that in 2 Kings chapter 8 and chapter number 9, that these two men, Hazael and Jehu, they're anointed just like God said. And so Elisha, he's a picture of a man coming on the scene to complete the task. And I thought about the verses we just read and we just memorized in John chapter number 1. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came on the scene. And all throughout the book of Matthew, you find this phrase, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Jesus came on the scene, and he fulfilled every single one of them. He didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. Jesus, he's the greater Elisha. He's the greater prophet of God that came on the scene because mankind had a need. And the Bible said no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus came to this earth to declare God to man. And aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Aren't you thankful for a prophet that'll show God to men? And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. That's what Elisha was doing. He was called of God to be a prophet. That's what prophets did. They revealed God to man. And when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he completed the task. He was the express image of God. He completely and fully revealed God to mankind. And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that Jesus, he finished the task on earth. He finished the task at Calvary. He cried, "It's finished." He completed the work. Amen. Listen, I don't have to suffer for my... I'm not going to have to die and spend any time in purgatory finishing to suffer and pay for my sins. They're gone. They've been paid for. I'm clean. I'm cleansed. My sins are gone. And one day, listen, he's going to fulfill all of it. His second coming, the millennial reign, and through all of eternity, Jesus Christ, he's going to finish the task. We can count on him. Amen. And so a couple of applications from that. I thought about this. When friends fail, when family fails, when loved ones fail, Jesus never does. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what you're going through. But I know that, you know what, people can let people down. And sometimes we can be let down. I'm thankful there's a God in heaven that sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never fail. You can always count on him. You can always trust him. He'll be there. Amen. When your health fails, Jesus will be there. When your wealth fails, Jesus will be there. When your religion fails, when your brothers and sisters in Christ fail you, when they let you down, Jesus Christ will be there. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Prophets there, they were to reveal God to man. The Old Testament revealed the need for man to have a prophet, and Jesus in the New Testament, he completely supplied that need. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Amen. By whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2. And I'm going to make three quick applications here and we'll be done. 2 Kings chapter 2. In our text, Elisha, he kind of gives us a foretaste of what Jesus can do for us. We've seen, I hope it's been fairly clear. I've tried to give it to you as quickly as I could. But I want you to understand that in Elisha, we see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, I think we can see some comparisons here in 2 Kings chapter 2. Some things that Elisha did that we can count on Jesus to do. Very quickly. Number one, Jesus can give wisdom to the young. All right, this is Youth Sunday. All right, if you consider yourself young, I'm not going to put an age on that because Jesus gives wisdom to all of us. But he, in this text specifically, I believe there were some young men. These men, they were called sons of the prophets. And they were kind of like in preacher school, training for ministry. And you know they probably had to be teenagers because they were saying one thing at the beginning of chapter 2 and then they kind of changed their mind. All through the beginning of chapter 2, they're telling Elijah and Elisha, "Hey, Elisha, don't you know that, you know, God's going to be taking Elijah away?" And he said, "Yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. Quit reminding me." They go to the next town, the sons of the prophets, they'd say, "Hey, don't you know that God, he's going to be taking Elijah away today?" And Elisha said, "Look, I know, I know." And then finally, when God does take Elijah off the scene, they said, "Maybe we ought to go look for him." Had to be teenagers. Right. Look at it, if you will, verse number 16. They said unto him, these sons of the prophets, that's who the text is referring to, verse number 15, when the sons of the prophets, verse number 16, they said unto him, Elisha, "Behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley." And he said, "Ye shall not sin." Elisha said, "No, I don't think that's a good idea." Verse number 17, "And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, 'Send.'" Sometimes you got to learn a lesson the hard way. He says, "All right, boys, have at it. Go look for him." "They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not." Verse number 18, "When they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, 'Did I not say unto you, go not?'" He said, "I told you so, boys." Right? So listen, very simple application, but what I see here that Elisha gave to these young men, he's trying to teach them a lesson. Hey, listen, if you'll listen to me, I can share some wisdom with you. And can I tell you that same lesson applies today for the younger? Listen, whether it's a 10-year-old listening to a 30-year-old, or whether it's a 30-year-old listening to a 50-year-old, or a 50-year-old listening to a 70-year-old, hey, listen, God's put those with more experience in our life for us to learn from. And so you're here and you're a young person, learn from your elders, your parents, your grandparents. Listen to what they have to say. When they're talking, sit up straight, perk up, be attentive, look at them in the face, answer, respond. They've got wisdom for you. And so just like Elisha had wisdom to give these young men, Jesus got wisdom for you. He can save you a lot of time. These young men here, they wasted a lot of time because they wouldn't listen to a man that had wisdom. I don't know how much time they spent. They went seeking 3 days, the Bible says in verse number 17. 3 days they wasted their time because they didn't take the wisdom that God put right in front of them. And so listen, very practical application. If you're here and God's put a spirit-filled, experienced person in your life that's been down the road further than you have, listen to what they have to say. If you don't and you insist on doing things your way, you insist on being stubborn, trusting your own wisdom, and you know it all, well, you're just going to waste a lot of time. You're just going to spend your whole life, you're going to make a lot of mistakes, you have to come back and do them all again. And so I see in this text, number one, Jesus can give wisdom to the young. Number two, Jesus can give healing to the experienced. That's what Elisha does here. Notice verse number 19. And the men of the city. So we had some men that were a little younger in the verses prior, but now we've got the men, some people with experience. I'm not going to call them old this time, Brother David Thompson. Amen. He fussed at me for calling our senior saints or our elderly. I mean, I kept on using synonyms last time. So we're going to call them experienced. That better? Amen. Experienced. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught. The ground bare. There in Jericho was a cursed city. Remember in Joshua 6, Jericho was a cursed city. And he said, verse 20, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth into the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Here I see where Elisha gave healing to a bitter situation. Right now, listen, you live life long enough, something's going to happen, and it's going to give you cause to be bitter. It's going to give you cause to just to get numb, to be desensitized, to not care anymore, to get apathetic, to lose your passion. And God used this man, Elisha, to bring healing, to a situation that was not very pleasant. And I thought about that. Well, that's a perfect picture of Jesus. Can't Jesus do that? Can't Jesus take situations that are not very pleasant? Can't Jesus take bitter situations and bring healing to those that have some experience in life? Because that's the ones that are mostly in danger of getting bitter. You've been through life. You've took some hard knocks. You've been knocked down. You've gotten up. If you're not careful, you're just going through the motions before long. And you're doing the right thing, but you're doing it with no zeal. You're doing it with no passion. You've lost your fire. And there's a God in heaven that says, I wish you'd just come to me. I wish you'd look to me. I can make that situation better. I can give you some grace for that. I can sweeten your spirit. I can give you some zeal. I can give you some passion. I can restore the joy of my salvation to you. I'm thankful that Jesus can give healing to the experienced tonight. Then lastly, Jesus can teach respect to the little children. That's what happens here in our text. Notice, if you will, interesting. Verse number 23. You got your Bible? Everybody following along? All right, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23. And he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children. So we've got the sons of the prophets covered, we got the men covered, and now here comes the little children. And they came out of the city and mocked him and said, go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. Keep going, baldy. Right? Keep on going. Well, Elisha got a lesson for them too. Verse number 24, and he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. There came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 40 and two children of them. Wow. Now listen, that's serious stuff right there. But Elisha was trying to teach these young people, hey, you ought to respect the ones that are older than you. You ought to respect especially God's men. I think it's still a good lesson ought to be taught today. Now, I ain't seen God call any bears to come out of the woods and take any children away. But you know what? We think that it couldn't get any worse than that. But you know what? I think it might could. You know, a bear coming out of the woods isn't the worst thing that can happen to you. I mean, there's a lot of ways God has of getting our attention, isn't there? And so listen, if you're here and you're a youth and you still live at home, it's very important. It's very important that you respect your parents. and that you obey them, and that you honor them, and that when they ask you to do something, you don't give them any back talk or any excuse or any delay. You do exactly what you're told when you're told it. Amen. It's very important. You know, God has a word for all of us. Elisha did. Well, whether it was young, middle age, or experienced, amen. Jesus, listen, he meets the need. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what you're going through. All I know was when we go back to Genesis 24, we'll try to end where we began. When that servant began to show Rebekah some of the things about her about his master, her interest got ticking up. She became interested. She said, you know what? I want to know more about that man. I'm going to follow him. Now listen, I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're going through. But I ask you tonight, how's your relationship with Jesus? What do you need from him tonight? Whether it's wisdom, whether it's grace for a bitter spirit, or whether it's respect. Now listen, you young folks, if you've been disrespectful to your parents, you ought to apologize to God, and you ought to apologize to them tonight. You ought not let it go on any further. This is Youth Sunday. That's the most important commandment that God gave a child. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. Thou mayest live long upon the earth. Very important. So search your heart tonight. Have you been respectful? Have you been obedient, mom and dad, whoever God's put over you? If you have, wonderful, keep it up. God's watching. He's keeping the records. If you haven't, I would encourage you. I challenge you tonight. Get right with God. Get right with your parents. You never know. God might use an apology, and I'm sorry, to bring revival to a family tonight. Elisha, well, he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I know Jesus. I'm glad he's sufficient to meet my needs. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I've just barely scratched the surface. There's much in there. There's a lot of treasures in your word. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there's great reward. God, I pray that you'd help us to be closer to you, to deepen our relationship, and Lord, to come to Jesus for the need of our soul tonight. And I pray that you'd have your will in your way the remainder of this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet, Pastor.